Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As John said, he's Gilda Haas from Los Angeles and I are co-founders of the Right to the City Alliance. And so the perspective that I'm going to give is partly from our perspective, and I think I read Jackie's paper earlier around, you know, what are the activists thinking in terms of founding the alliance? And in saying that, I'm going to put out some of the thoughts on what's happening within the alliance, but also be clear that what I'm going to put out are strategies in terms of some of the thinking, and that within the alliance, there's tremendous amounts of actually still heterogeneity difference, and we're trying to build an alliance from right now over 50 organizations. And to start with that, I think it's important to understand when we're talking about building a social movement in the United States to actually go back to what Margaret said about what are the conditions within the United States around which we're trying to build. And there's three main things which I think which go together with what she said that people have to keep in mind in terms of what we're confronting and trying to build a radical movement there. Those three things are one, that we've been actually in a process of deep neoliberalism for close to 25 years, right? So the level of deprivation, the level of stripping of the state, the level of rollback of the welfare state, the level of to which then the economy has shifted and to which the lower strata of the working class has actually had worse and worse conditions is intense. And if you haven't from here, you may not even be able to imagine the level to which there's actually poverty exists in the United States, particularly in the inner cities. Number two is then that has been coupled with a right-wing assault on everything left, right? It's not even popular and possible to be liberal, much less left in the United States over the last 20 years. And the level of assault and discreditization of left ideas and actually the assault on intellectualism and left intellectualism in particular, since Reagan in particular, has been deep and has devastated not only the media, mass consciousness, but also the movement itself. And then the third thing is that in that time, particularly since the 70s, when the new left in the United States disintegrated and was attacked, the nature of social movements in both community and labor organizing has become incredibly pragmatic. In that it's reduced itself and not only become to what is called some bread and butter issues around just wages, around just a stop sign, around just material improvements, and actually has done so in a reformist orientation that has actually been anti-left, right? To win small incremental wins and actually saying that way is a rejection of ideology and a rejection of theory in some ways. And so the most of the labor and community organizing, which dominated over the last 20 years, has actually been in that way that has actually rejected any sense of theoretical underpinning or to look to left theory in particular. So it's in that context that we've been doing our organizing, and new organizations then over the last 10 years and some older have developed and trying to occupy a space to reformulate a social movement. So it's in that context then that we started Right to the City Alliance. And so in that context, I think what's important for people to understand is that we didn't start Right to the City Alliance as an adoption of an entire ideology or theory. What we started was Right to the City as a frame to which we can then do two things. A frame that would A, be an entry point to theory, and B, be a place around which we can recapture and reconsolidate ground forces towards a movement orientation. And why did Right to the City then appeal to us as a frame? It appealed to us as a frame because, one, it had deep theory, ideology, and thinking in its tradition that we could get into, but it was immediately available for us as organizers to actually gather folks, both in our membership and other organizers, who weren't steeped in theory necessarily. So how did it do that? There was two planks that we saw to the right to the city frame that were important. One is that as we saw it as an urbanization of human rights struggles, that we actually, it gave us the possibility that the right to the city was about material campaigns, whether it be about housing, education, criminal justice reform, that we, transportation, that we can actually take on those struggles as rights and assert those as rights. But in our view of human rights and human and other work, as organizers, it wasn't enough to make a moral assertion for rights. As organizers, we also had to address the question of power. And so the other thing that the Right to the City frame did for us is then give us a very deep sense of what fighting for democratic power in cities looked like. So everything from everyday life, but in our campaigns around struggles that we were having in the cities, it meant taking on everything, taking on what a neoliberalized city looked like, why planning and zoning processes had been privatized, why developers controlled elections in the municipalities, why citizenship rights had been stripped and stripped and stripped at the municipal level. The right to the city then was a plank around re-articulating democratic power and processes within cities. And so then it, for both those reasons, it became a frame that we can use in our on-the-ground work to then articulate a vision of what we're trying to fight for and the power and processes that we would need to get there. So then as a frame, the right to the city did three things. One, it allowed us as a frame then to be intersectional, because the movements and the organizing in the United States have been fragmented. Housing groups did housing, education groups did education, criminal justice groups did criminal justice, in very much silos, right? So the frame then around material rights and the assertion of material rights and the question of power and democratic power let us be intersectional and actually look at all of those issues within the urban setting as intersectional issues around struggles for right to the city. So even when we came together around displacement and the leading issue was housing, the criminal justice group started bringing up the question of police coercion, incarceration in relationship to working class displacement. The education groups were able to bring youth and education and social reproduction issues in terms of how education was tracking students into low-wage jobs as a displacement of the working class issues. We were able to be intersectional. Second is that, and it's something that's been touched upon here, but probably not enough, is the question of agency. So we understood, and we had an analysis of neoliberalism when we began, but the question of agency was central to our work. So if neoliberalism is rolling out as accumulation by dispossession, our job was to accumulate the dispossessed. To accumulate the dispossessed into a movement and a social force that could be the leading edge to play back, and actually it was that dispossessed, the accumulation of the dispossessed, that would have agency in leading a movement around right to the city. And third, so many of our struggles against displacement had been reactive and resistant struggles. And being reactive and resistant struggles against demolition of housing, against development projects that were coming in, against huge stadiums, we were increasingly be pitched as basically the narrow opposition, or we were against progress, or that in the United States what they would call us was haters. We were just the haters. We just, anything that was good, we would be against it. Anything that was going to bring capital or money into the neighborhood, we would oppose it. And so we were framed then as basically the loyal opposition that just didn't want progress. And the Right to the City frame then allowed us to actually have a proactive vision around a working class strategy for working class communities that wasn't just about stopping something, but that actually articulated a strategy for working class development. So then the frame then allowed us to do that. And the first thing we did at the conference in 2007 is to try and have the Right to the City as a frame adopted, right? And in doing that, even as a frame, there was struggle, right? Why doesn't it come organically from the ground? Why don't we develop something ourselves? Why would we take it something that came from a French dude in 1968? right? So we had to then have struggle around adopting the frame as a frame to which we can actually have dialogue, deepen our practice, and actually look at these questions of material struggles and democratic power in cities. I think we were able at the end of that to actually have all the groups that were there affirm the frame, but they first took it back to all of their organizations, took it inside their base, had discussion about it, added their own 2 cents and 3 cents and 25 cents about what the frame meant to them, and adopted it as a frame for the alliance. And we're still in the process, though, of then articulating, developing what that frame means to us, including newer developments around, you know, the role of culture and in struggle, and it's expanding as we speak. But the next step then was to move from a frame that brings us together and moves our intersectionality, moves agency, moves our ability to be proactive in our areas, to then what is it that we're doing together, right? If it's a frame that brings us together, where are we trying to go, and what is the politic and the political strategy of trying to get there? So in that, we did this PowerPoint, which was to build a movement in 6 easy steps and in 7 minutes. In 5 minutes. So 7, thank you. All right. Nick, you got any money? In 676. So I'm going to go through these quickly, but these are currently being, there's a popular video being made of these. This was put out when we mobilized in this summer at the U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting in Miami. A couple of hundred activists and members came together, and we had this internal dialogue about what does it take for us to move to the next level from our local organization. So one is a recognition that we were too small, and both in our imagination and in our practice, we had to figure out how to get to another level of scale in our organizations, in our movements, in our impacts. Two, the New Majority Alliance. So I think John touched on this a little bit. The core of our work of most of these organizations is in low income, the lower strata of the working class, amongst African American and immigrant communities. We thought at that time that the way that neoliberalism was playing out and the level of alienation and the level of economic degradation, that we should be able to actually build alliances that were much bigger than just those in our neighborhoods, just those amongst our constituency, and that we actually wanted to construct what John called a historic majoritarian bloc in cities that can move real change, understanding the agency of our communities. Third, political voice, that in fact we had to, I think there was an understanding and we put out that the means of communication were as important as the means of production and actually being able to move social change. And that if we can't actually move ideas at the level of masses and move mass ideas, then we won't continue to be framed as small and insignificant. And that even beyond our regular struggles, we had to be able to both influence, take over, create the means of communication to shift the debate. Third, government and governance. That neoliberalism in our cities had significantly changed the role of the state, the way that governance plays out in our cities, and that we were, in our traditions, basically staying on the outside of engaging government and governance issues, that we had to be able to actually take on the state as it currently existed, but then also take on the various ways that the cities and the developers and the privatized state was now functioning in our cities, that we had to remake what was the public good and not assume old ways that the state operated in our relationship to it. Five, which also meant then we have to both at the local, national, and international levels be able to contest for power of Democrat and contest for democratic control of economic institutions, which means institutions, finance institutions in our neighborhoods, national and other levels, but also being able to create economic institutions where we're able to start moving and organizing money. And then finally, a national movement. All of our organizations exist, and their strength and our understanding is our strength at the local level, our local base, our local leadership. We were increasingly recognizing, and then we wanted to push on, that fighting at the local level wasn't enough to win what we needed, largely because even our local targets were increasingly national and international. In Los Angeles, the big fight was around a stadium that was coming in called Staples Center. That stadium, the blueprints, the plans, the developers were the same ones that they were pushing simultaneously in London. right? And if we weren't able to figure out how to transnationally organize and across regions, and if we couldn't get out of our local trap, that we actually couldn't take on the targets at the scale and place where decisions and power were being made. Another example, Nick and Jamie talked about Mexico, where Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg in New York is bringing in the state, the national Mexican welfare program that was very conservative. Well, in Mexico City, they have a progressive one that calls for universal entitlement. Why don't we bring the Mexico City example to the New York City and make that a platform that we struggle for at the level of fighting for demands? So these six steps then are basically what we're talking about in terms of strategizing. And on the last one, I think the key thing, and I think Jackie said this, is how do we simultaneously build local power and our local organizations while stretching to take on a national and transnational movement? And I think a big, you know, that's something we've been really struggling with. And the big breakthrough that we had recently was actually recognizing that those two levels actually may have dynamics of their own. That we don't have to get to a certain point in the local in order to build local, that those two things can happen together. Finally, then, if this is what we're trying to do, and I did it in 10 minutes, I'm sorry. If we're trying to build at all those levels, this is the politics, this is what we're trying to push ourselves through. The reason we're doing this is because we think that we're at a particular political moment. And this was before the financial meltdown. This is before Obama had got the candidacy. But it was a sense from our bases that there were cracks in neoliberalism that we had to be able to take advantage of. And that we, as a movement, it was at the time that we needed to jump and stretch ourselves to the next level. And in fact, looking at the Obama campaign for us wasn't just a question of looking at Obama's positions. And there are clear differences in terms of race and foreign policy in Obama, but it was really looking at it as a moment where there was a shift in the United States where we could take advantage of those in terms of scale, majority alliances, political debate, democratic institutions. This was an opening where we had gone from really small level of debate around these things for years to where the political question was open. And so I'm going to end with just showing a video from some of the work we did in the elections, just to get a sense of seeing what it looks like. And our organization, similar to many's, had, you know, we have tenant unions where we're organizing against slumlords and negotiating banks to take over buildings. We have a 10-year campaign around protecting public housing. One of the images you'll see here is we stopped the demolition of 750 units of public housing. We're fighting to the reconstruction of 850 units of public housing. We're fighting around cultural spaces and parks. And then the election was a way to be able to engage people at a scale that we hadn't been able to see before. So this, I'm going to show you one quick video that's just from the lead up to the election, and then if the internet works, I'll show you one in terms of what it looked like on the streets when Obama won.
Organize that to organize. This is the acting thing.
It looks really good. I'm going to act it out. So the last thing I'll say then, this goes back to Neil's point, and I'll be talking to Peter, is to make this thing happen. It's my theme song. This is our new rendition of Niels Brenner's PowerPoint. Oops. My little German, new theory.
Well, thanks. Will mich anmelden.